Well, it's been confirmed that we've seen the last of that very wet La Nina weather pattern, and El Nino has now begun in the Pacific Ocean. The El Nino Southern Oscillation, or ENSO, has three different phases: hot, cold, or neutral. El Nino is the hot one. It's the most powerful climate fluctuation anywhere on planet Earth. So out of the frying pan and into the fire is the old saying. Should we welcome El Nino or not? Joining us is Met Service rural meteorologist Georgina Griffiths. Good morning.
Good morning.
El Nino will turn up the heat.
Yeah, apparently. But maybe not for New Zealand. We need to separate out global versus New Zealand, that's for sure. But let's talk about the El Nino. NOAA's gone and declared that the El Nino is present at the moment. As you're probably aware, that's a natural climate event, you know, oscillation that occurs in the tropical Pacific Ocean. So every couple of years we get an El Nino. Now, this one is in place nice and early, and it is expected to strengthen as we move towards Christmas. Typically, we'd get the peak of the El Nino around the Christmas time, that's named for that, and we would have increasing awareness of the impacts here in New Zealand by around Christmas or just after. And importantly for people globally, this El Nino has a decent chance of being a very strong El Nino, so a strong one. And that's where those headlines that you may have seen globally that said that may push us into the warmest year on record in 2024. So we've got El Nino heating up the globe, and we've got that background climate change warming. So that's what that warm, the heat messaging that we've seen in those global headlines refers to.
So here in New Zealand, what conditions can we expect with El Nino?
Yeah, so just the reverse, actually. El Nino has impacts globally, but in each region around the world, it either makes you cold or wet, or hot or dry. So it depends where you are. So in our local region, Australia would see heat, drought, fires as we trend towards summer. We would see some parts of the southwest Pacific, so those Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, New Caledonia, Fiji getting drier, and the central and eastern Pacific maybe getting a wee bit wetter. For New Zealand, because we have such great mountains, those southern Alps and the central plateau, it depends on which part of New Zealand you live in as to what impacts. So I'll try and keep it broad brushed, really. But our winter patterns, we're going to get a bit of everything. We've got a very active, low-pressure sort of regime coming in once a week from the Tasman Sea. Tasman Sea, Southern Ocean for winter remain our primary climate drivers, New Zealand. So we get a bit of everything and we get a lot of weather. That's just bog-standard New Zealand. Okay, so in winter, this El Nino may not be very recognisable or evident, but the hallmark El Nino response in New Zealand is a cold spring. We would expect a lot more southerlies than typical in spring for New Zealand. And, of course, that would be those cold temperatures a bit unusual for us. We're going to notice it after several years of heat. We've already seen early snowfalls in the South Island this year. In fact, I think we had the first one 28th of Feb, and then we've had intermittent top-ups thereafter. So it's quite good news for the ski season, I'd have to say, in that South Island region. So cold spring, that's our hallmark. By the time we hit summer, we would expect enhanced or frequent westerlies across New Zealand. And that has ramifications for eastern areas, the east coast of both islands and including Nelson, heat, dryness or drought, and of course an elevated fire risk. Particularly after the wet years we've had in those eastern regions, by the way, we may see our fire risk being a bit unusually up because of the higher fuel load we've had with a lot of rain in those eastern regions recently. In contrast, western areas of both islands this summer might be cloudier, cooler, lots more westerlies and a bit wetter. And of course, good news, Wellington, not really. El Nino tends to be windy as for the capital. So that's what we're looking at, quite a transition from cold spring to windy westerly summer.
And meanwhile, globally, heat and drought will likely hit parts of Asia, Africa, Australia, while the monsoon will weaken in India. So it's so dramatic wherever it is in terms of being different or bringing change.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of the largest global climate driver we have. Here in New Zealand for winter, just remember, our local climate drivers have more play. That's the Tasman Sea, the origin of most of our misery, particularly for the North Island, and the Southern Ocean, key driver for the South Island. So we've got a lot of winter weather to get through yet, but that cold spring heats up. The farming community and horticultural community will be expecting those westerlies to kick in summer, and that eastern area heat to maybe fire up and dryness in those eastern regions. So, you know, just, you know, any questions, hit up Met Service. We do a lot of long range, and it's been a hot topic since NOAA declared the other day.
It sure has. Now, during El Niño, we also know the trade winds will weaken in the Pacific. What does that lead to?
There's a rainmaking band that lives up in the Pacific Ocean. It's called the South Pacific Convergence Zone. So it's just a band of showers and or rain that normally sits around the Fiji region. During El Niño, and in particular if these El Niños have got any guts to them, so they're moderate or strong, that convergence zone or rain band gets shifted eastwards. So we get drier conditions than we normally would in places like Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, so that western or southwestern Pacific dries out. And then we get places like Nauru, Tokelau, getting rain that they wouldn't traditionally receive. So eastern and central Pacific places tend to be wetter. The southwest Pacific tends to dry out.
Back in 2015, MPI sent out an advisory to farmers ahead of an El Niño, and they were told to conserve any feed surplus and have a think about what summer crops should go into the ground to prioritise stock for destocking early and plan for water restrictions and fires. Does that general advice still hold for 2023, or would it be different?
Oh, yes and no. We've come out of, well, it depends on where you are again, which region in New Zealand, what type of summer or year you've had to date. Now, eastern regions of the North Island are so vulnerable, so have been so super wet, north and east North Island, are looking forward to El Niño. Let's be honest, we've had so much La Niña rain, we're over it, we need to dry out, we have tons of water and all the lakes are full. It's been a rough 6 months. So for the eastern North Island, I guess my key message would be keep up with the forecast. Talk to Met Service, look at the long range. You know, westerlies and dryness may not be a bad thing in those regions. I'm not sure they had any feed to lose, to be honest, because it all got washed away in the floods. For the eastern South Island and also Nelson Marlborough, you might think about how much feed have you got now. It's been a very wet 2 years in those regions compared to normal. And you might plan for a drying out and a heating up. But because we would traditionally have been quite wet, even in those regions, compared to normal, we're starting this one out in a very different place.
And since we are now in winter and we're considering what strength El Niño will bring this winter, what kind of cold blasts, what kind of temperatures can we expect from the south?
I think most people will be in for a bit of a shock this winter. Temperatures are running a lot closer to average. And it's been a long time since we even had an average winter because it's been warm the last few years. So just note we're already running cooler than we have for many a year, and we've forgotten what winter cold is. But that cold that we're seeing this winter is not driven by El Niño. It's driven by the Southern Ocean activating. We've had a lot more lows, had a pretty deep, intense low to start June, okay? And we're expecting that recipe of once a week a deep old low coming along, making a bit of a rough and tumble June for most regions. That to continue. So I just, for most townies around, I would say you're going to be a bit surprised how cool this winter is just because it's been a long, long time since we had even anywhere near an average flavoured winter. That's just normal Tasman Sea, Southern Ocean, reverting back to more typical volatility. Nothing to do with El Niño. That cold spring that we expect is the hallmark of El Niño. We're not used to cold winters much anymore. We've forgotten in the last 4 or 5 years. So yeah, it might be one of those winters we're actually dragging out some of the coats we haven't seen for a wee while.
Great talking with you, Georgina, and really, really good to get this current El Niño forecast. Thank you very much.
No problem. Just advising people who are interested, maybe connect with Met Service to get some updated information as we head towards spring.
Definitely will. Thanks, Georgina.
Yeah, thank you.
Georgina Griffiths there, Met Service Rural Meteorologist, with the latest on El Niño.